Blog Talk Radio.
For joining us tonight on the Wise Women Media, the radio show. We have a little bit of housekeeping to take care of before we get underway with our two interviews tonight. The song, the opening song you heard was Green Grass and High Tides by actually local. They were a local band, and a couple of them did live in Brooksville in Hernando County, as we are going to be talking about Hernando County in our first interview with Devon. So, to find us online, check us out at wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com. We have a Facebook group with the same name, a Facebook page, Wise Women Media. We are tweeting under hashtag Wise Women Media. So you can find us there on wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com. You'll see a list of our sponsors, all our archived shows, complete show descriptions, links to our social networks, and ways to contact us, get in touch with us. You're always free to give us feedback, suggest upcoming guests, or, you know, if you'd like to be on the show yourself, get in touch with us. Also, I wanted to give a couple of shout-outs to Here Be Monsters, the network that we're on, that actually has a whole stable of different shows throughout the week. Spirit Therapy Radio, The Sunday Show, The Consciousness Shift, and also want to give a shout out to Rick Spizak on the PNN Progressive News Network. He does a great program on Sunday nights. And Here Be Monsters gives us this time slot every week so we can broadcast. Also, if you feel so inclined, hit us up at the GoFundMe link on wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com. We are not corporate media. We have no corporate sponsors. We are completely independent, and we are funded by our listeners. So let me get underway. This has been quite a battle here in Hernando County to stop the expansion of mining by the Mexican company CEMEX. They currently are trying to, well, they actually have the land, which is across from the hospital on a main thoroughfare going through Hernando County, which is probably one of the most scenic counties in all of western Florida. It's called the Nature Coast for a reason here. So there is a big meeting coming up, which will be with the Hernando County commissioners on Tuesday. You will find out more information on that with the interview with Devon. And if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to go to neighborsagainstmining.org, which is the website, and you can contact Devon directly through that website if you want to help, if you have feedback, if you'd like to donate. They need all kinds of help. I will be at the meeting personally on Tuesday. I'm anxious to see how this is all going to play out. So, without any further ado, this is Devon Chiarello. She is going to tell us all about Neighbors Against Mining and the grassroots organizing that's gone behind stopping CMEX from expansion mining, open pit blast mining in a beautiful, pristine area of Florida. Hope you enjoy it. Sorry, we're having some technical difficulties. Give me just a moment. Give me just a moment to try to square this away because for some reason the audio is jumping back to the front. Give me just a moment.
Filed an application to change the Hernando County Comprehensive Land Use Plan and Zoning on 728 acres on Cortez Boulevard, which is directly across from our Bayfront Health Hospital. And they wanted to change it from residential and commercial to open pit industrial mining for the next 20 years. And it's right at the entrance to Brooksville, which is the county seat for Hernando County. And unfortunately, the only ones to benefit from this application would be the property owners and CMEX. It's a bad deal for Hernando County. And we are going to have the county commission consider this on Tuesday, December 9th, here at the Brooksville Courthouse in Brooksville, Florida. So Neighbors Against Mining is a grassroots organization that has mobilized residents and neighbors to encourage the commissioners to just say no to more mining, and especially at this location. What's interesting is that in July, the Planning and Zoning Commission voted it down 4-1. And rather than recommending approval, prior to that, the county planning staff raised issues regarding the predictable drop in property values for the residences in the immediate area, the impact of the mining and blasting on adjoining land uses, and the viability of reclamation. We have no idea who would be responsible for reclaiming it after 20 years, since it's a lease by CMEX. They could just walk away. And the property owners are five very various individuals here in Hernando County who will most likely not even be around after 20 years. So we have no contract between them in the record to show who's actually responsible for this cleanup, and so that's an outstanding issue. So in addition to that, the proposal is so wrong in so many other ways. Mining activities are inappropriate across the street from the hospital due to the chronic aerial pollution of the carcinogenic silica dust, and that noise and blasting can interfere with delicate instruments, with medical procedures, and with patient recovery. I mean, it's a no-brainer. You don't put an open-pit industrial mine across from a hospital. What's also interesting is this parcel completely surrounds the historic African-American Spring Hill Cemetery, where generations of early Hernando pioneers and World War veterans are buried. CMEX proposed a setup of a few hundred feet, but and then the county came back and said, well, let's make it 250 feet. But you can't excavate down 45 feet all around a small parcel of land and the small dirt road leading to the county road that far and not expect that land that is going to be sitting up high with excavation all around it not to erode and destabilize. The nested insecurities in the ground from the blasting will damage the historic vault. And this shows absolutely no respect for the history of Hernando and the veterans who are buried there and the generations of pioneers that represent the past history of the African-American community here in Hernando.
One of the biggest issues is probably water use. Can you shed some light on how that will affect the water in the neighboring properties?
Absolutely. We've hired a hydrogeologist to analyze this application, and what he found, Anita, was really interesting. The topography of the site starts the proposed mine site at the northern border of it, where the dense canopy is located, drops by over 100 feet down to the southeastern section of it, which fronts the highway and is across from the hospital. And once you excavate the sediments and the rock strata that is proposed in this application down more than 1 mile in that east-west direction, you're going to see a huge decline in groundwater levels. Within the mine that is equivalent to the land surface elevation at the southern extent of that mine. So this would significantly affect local flow and drainage patterns outside the mine area. Mr. Kugler has provided a chart that indicates that the main impacts would be to the west of the excavation, which is where all the residences, there are over 50 residences in this area, and the secondary impacts would be downstream as all the erosion and sediment is washed down over the highway and into the Peck Sink watershed and the hospital. And so there are potential water quality impacts, predictable water quality impacts from erosion and serious water quality level decline and erosion in the residential area. And so what he's saying to us is something that I found rather shocking. I had no idea that it would be such an incredible difference between the northern section and the southern section, and that once they excavate that out, it makes sense that it would indeed create significant erosion and runoff and sedimentation. And what's interesting is that he notes that once the superficial sand, silt, and clay and shale are removed to access the target rock, there is a direct hydraulic connection for sediment and pollutants to enter the aquifer. He tells us
so that means even people that have wells and are not connected to city or county water sources, their well water
well. Yeah. What he says is the extensive shallow permeable limestone in the area would allow for potentially long travel distance of sediment and pollutants, potentially impacting groundwater and wells at a distance from the mine. Water quality south of the mine is likely to be impacted. The decline in water levels in the mine area could lower water levels in wells, particularly north and west of the mine area. And it will create, within the proximity of Peck Sink, high flow gradients between the mine and the sink, and a potential for rapid movement of groundwater across the area of the proposed mine to the sink, which is a special protection area. The county, the state, have invested millions of dollars to protect Peck Sink and create water quality protection berms and basements, catchment basements, and engineered this area significantly. And it's written into the comp plan that this area is protected. So if they were to allow this mining, it would bluntly violate the intent of that provision of the comp plan, as well as jeopardize the wells of residents and jeopardize the Peck Sink water quality and the hospital. So that's a biggie. We just
Very much so. Now, as far as soil, how does soil come into play and the reclamation effort? You're saying that they have not written any reclamation plans into their long-term?
They have not provided any details on who is going to be responsible for it. That's our point. Who's going to do it? In their application, they included beautiful glossy pictures of this Bay Harbor project that has now become the largest brownfields cleanup contaminated site in the country. 57 trucks a day are removing contaminated slurry and silt from that site. The multi-million dollar homes have been fenced off and the area is abandoned as a toxic dump. So this area, this idea of cleaning up and reclaiming has gone wrong for this one high-profile development that they were touting as an example of how it can be done.
Wow, that's amazing. And let me tell us a little bit about the actual situation regarding the blasting and the open pit, you know, mining, but the blasting and what...
Blasting's another black hole. We found, as you know, we tried to seek copies of all the blasting reports from the state fire marshal. And as it turns out, the Florida government, when our new Governor Scott got in office, changed all the rules. So while the mine is required to have monitoring done at various sites, and they've hired Geosonics to do it, they are the custodians for the monitoring reports. The fire marshal never inspects them or reviews them. When he delivered the records to me, he told me CMEX was a good corporate citizen. Well, and I said, well, have you looked at these reports that you're handing me? He said, oh, no, I don't do that. It's up to them. If they have a violation, they're required to self-report. And so what we did is one of our neighbors' engineers analyzed the blasting reports and found over the last 5 years, and this is for the mining area directly north of this parcel. Has existing mining. It's been going on there forever. They found rampant violations of the blasting levels, and they also found manipulation of the reporting. For example, there's a certain level that you cannot exceed in an urban residential area, and then there's an even higher level of forgiveness for a rural area for some reason. And one of the monitors that they had is located at Cindy Dietrich's house, one of our Neighbors Against Miners people. She's a nurse.
Hi.
About the health impacts. Well, we looked at the reports for her house, and there was one day where the blast went way high over the levels, and they simply applied the higher rural standard to it, whereas most of the other reports for her home were under the zoning for urban residential. So it's one side. It can't change its category of blasting standards. You know, because it's the same site. It can't be lower one day and higher the next day just so that it looks like the blast didn't exceed standards. So there's some
It's important to note that, you know, this lady you mentioned is also a nurse. So she's done a lot of research into the health impacts.
Funny is that when Diane showed her that report, she said, oh, I remember that day very well. I was standing in my yard and that blast knocked me down to the ground.
Wow. And it's also another important point to note is that this woman is also differently abled. So, you know, when you're talking about seniors or people that are differently abled that have the blasting going on right in their own environment, it can be critical, just like it can be extremely critical.
The blasting, the noise, the chronic lights flashing, all of this diminishes the quality of life for people who bought into a residential zoned area. They were not advised that there were mines in this area. There was no notice by the realtors. There was no disclosure. We have another member, Diane, who just brought into the area, who works at home. She requires a quiet place to work because she has conference calls. And she hears the blasting all the time. And she said, you know, really, I can't do this. I can't continue to do this. So what we're looking at is really destructive and non-compatible impacts to the residents. And there are over 50 homes in this area. And about 150 people. And, you know, the damage from the mining can range from cracks in the homes to sinkholes. We have presented several studies showing that we can count on property values declining. And it also diminishes the health and the quality of life of all these people. They're opposed to this more mining because of all this blasting, because of the wave tremors, because of the dust pollution, because of the property damage they've already experienced from the mining further north. They don't want it even closer. And when you look at the map, you can see that nearby are 7,100 residents of Brooksville in our county seat who would also be exposed to the chronic silica dust pollution. You don't site an open pit industrial mine next to a heavily populated area. In addition, this will discourage the kind of environmentally sustainable growth that Brooksville desperately needs.
So as far as Fernando County and Brooksville, there is great, I mean, it's pretty much undeveloped in a large way when you get away from the water. It's mostly farm, rural, but as you're closer to the water, it's starting to get built up, and there's a potential to have some really wonderful green eco-type tourism, ventures and endeavors going on, which, of course, having the mining in this area would diminish anybody from wanting to invest there.
Exactly. This is the part, Hernando County is part of the Nature Coast.
Right.
The county is already investing millions of dollars a year in trying to attract nature tourists, historic and cultural tourism. They've invested in Chinsiga Hill. They spent money trying to promote tourism. They're looking at developing a visitor center. And, you know, what I'm saying is you can't have it both ways. People don't come to visit a mining town. They're not going to – people going on the road to Wikiwachi are not going to be attracted to going into a historic town if they have to pass a big industrial mine. And believe me, people are savvy. They shop online. They know what's located. They want a place where the quality of life is good, where the environment is clean. And Hernando County is blessed with acres of the wider Withlacoochee River Basin. We have abundant canoeing and biking. We have the ridge. We have boating on the shore. We have fishing. We have birding. These are all, and all of these parks, a lot of this area is in protected parks that are fully maintained by the state and federal government at no cost to the county. And so this is what we have, and this is what we should be promoting and selling, because this will create more sustainable long-term jobs. This mining proposal, believe it or not, will not create one new job for 20 years. And the amount of taxes that the county will get from the mining pales in comparison to what we would get if they were developing that for residential areas, for example, or for commercial, which they anticipate doing after 20 years.
Tell us about the impact of like surgeries at the hospital and some of the letters that have been received from the doctors that are talking about the health impacts.
It's curious that the hospital itself would not go on record in writing, but then they did get a great grant from the mining people who built an enrichment center for them a few years ago, so I think they cut some kind of deal. But we've gotten several letters from doctors, and we got one fabulous letter from the Florida Osteopathic Medical Association, which includes all the osteopathic physicians in Florida, many of whom are here in Hernando County and have privileges at Brooksville Hospital and practice out of that hospital. And they were very concerned with the silica dust. It is a carcinogen. The particles are small. You don't see them, but chronic exposure to it during the drilling, crushing, loading, and dumping, it all creates these silica particles that are embedded in the limestone. And what's interesting is, silica is more toxic than coal, but it's regulated to 1/20th the level of coal dust. And what they tell us in the studies that were attached to these statements is, as mining becomes more efficient and production increases, the potential to generate more dust also increases. And so the doctors, including Dr. Wunderlich, Dr. Mark Yacht, Dr. Hamill, all three local doctors have all written letters saying that they support the Planning Commission vote to deny this project, and they hope that the commissioners will concur. It's not in the right place. You just don't put a big mine across from a hospital.
Wow. Let's talk about property values a little bit. Has anybody actually gone in and done any studies on how their property will devalue once
this is put into place? We've actually done a lot of research online, and we've submitted 4 different studies to the county commissioners by unbiased professional experts that have concluded that mining and property values are not a good mix. One study we got was by Dr. Austin Williams, The Impact of Surface Coal Mining on Residential Property Values. He did a hedonic price analysis, and he concluded that the results clearly show a negative relationship between proximity to surface mines and property values. It reveals considerable monetary losses. We had another study from the Grave to analyze the impact of a potential mine, the Stone Cold Gravel Mine in Michigan by George Erichchek, and he concluded that it's a key finding of the model and interprets an increase in distance from the gravel mine is associated with a loss in property value. In other words, he says the chance of the gravel mine not having an adverse effect on housing values is 1 in 1,000. The report's estimation of the potential impact on property values was also supplemented by an analysis of the lost tax revenues that the county would experience because they were not able to get the higher value for the property, and therefore property taxes would be less than they would be otherwise. So there's a consequence to the public as well as the private homeowners. But understand, this is your biggest investment. Your home is where you put in your money and you expect to enjoy your life and live it out. And what we're doing is taking an area that's been zoned residential for a very long time in our approved and vetted and adopted comprehensive land use plan. CMEX is asking us to cast that all aside, throw out the zoning, and change it to the most radical difference you could possibly imagine, open pit industrial mining. So, you know, the residents are justified in feeling that they're being left out in the cold for a few men who are going to make all the money and a multinational Mexican corporation, whereas no new jobs are created, and we all inherit the pollution and the diminution in quality of life. It's just not a good deal for Hernando.
And this is happening in so many other communities, not just with mining, but with fracking and with the pipeline and eminent domain. And then we have the other thing that's threatening us northwards is the Sable Trail natural gas pipeline, which, of course, there's nothing natural about that at all. So we'll be doing some shows on that in the coming weeks. But this is getting very critical because citizens have to be vigilant and know what's going on in their communities and attend.
Well, we're all planning to show up for this hearing on Tuesday, December 9th at the Brooksville Courthouse. For those of you that are listening and can't be at the hearing but feel concerned about this, you can email in your comments to planning@hernandocounty.us and the subject matter, put CMEX CPAM 1102. If you want more information, you can go to our website, neighborsagainstmining.org. Go to the homepage. We'll direct you on how to submit online comments. If you want to copy us, we'll put your comments on our website. You'll see the comments of many, many others there as well.
And Neighbors Against Mining is also a group on Facebook. So
we do have a nice Facebook page.
Yeah. And you don't aren't able to pull up the site, go to the Facebook page. It is a Facebook group, Neighbors Against
also
Mining,
uh-huh.
And post any information there or
yeah.
questions.
Recently, we've been waving banners and signs in front of the parcel, the mining parcel across from the hospital, and I just posted some pictures of all our volunteers out there waving their signs and banners, saying, just say no to mining, be there December 9th, show up. And all the calls, all the cars that go by honk and wave at us and beep and do a thumbs up. It's really encouraging.
There's a huge community, it's a come together of community against this effort. The people that live there do not want it. And it's not going to provide jobs or anything positive for the community whatsoever. It's going to take away from
That's
the community.
Right.
Yvonne, did you
show
come
no need for it.
Time? Do you have any closing comments or anything that's really important that you want to state before we close?
Well, Anita, I just wanted to thank you for giving me this opportunity to further inform your reader, your listeners, because I think one of the things that we as individuals feel sometimes is that we can't make a difference. But I am finding out that even though this is a slam dunk, that the property owners are very powerful in this town, we actually got the vote from the planning department. We actually got the staff to not recommend adopting this. And we have met with each of the commissioners, and as citizens, we're all volunteers. We've done our research, though. We have credible points to make. We've uncovered so many things wrong with this proposal and communicated it to our elected officials. And I think this is the greatest part of our democracy, is when people actually get involved and make a difference. And I think we actually have changed things dramatically already.
And a few people can make big changes. So it doesn't take a million people to make changes. It just
right.
really takes a community coming together, and the power lies within the people, as Patti Smith said. So, you know, the people have the power.
Right.
So we have to remember that.
I also want to point out that I know I'm going to put in a plug here. Nature Coast Conservation is a 501c3 tax-deductible organization. We've been saving our pennies to pay for our experts and all the expenses associated with the campaign. There are no paid staff, so if you want to contribute to the pennies we're spending on the nuts and bolts expenses of winning this one, we'd love it. You can, as again, find more information on the website at neighborsagainstmining.org, or as you noted, on our Facebook account, Stop Mining in Hernando County.
Okay, thank you, Devon, so much. And
thank you, Anita.
And that was our interview with Devon Chirolo, and the information about the meeting on Tuesday, it will be at the Hernando County Courthouse. It will be Tuesday, December 9th. It will be at 9 o'clock in the morning. People are encouraged to get there as early as possible, 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, so they can get a seat, because we expect it to be filled, and they will probably open up overflow rooms if you can come later. But we need people to make public comment. We need people to be there. So this is a huge, huge effort, and like I said, the power of the people can't be underestimated. I want to give a couple shout-outs right now to the people that are actually protesting all across the country tonight. New York City, my hometown of Tampa, Albuquerque, Chicago, anywhere where there's a large community coming together. People are on the streets about police brutality, and it's just an amazing movement to see. I've been monitoring the live streams, and I really have hope in the future. So if we can continue, if we can continue together as community, we can make all the changes we need to see. We are the change, as they say. So without further ado, I'll just take a few minutes of a little music break here. And, of course, this is apropos. Money by Pink Floyd.
Thank you.
do, I'm going to open up the interview and get the audio going for my very good friend, Alona Watzlawick, who really has taught me a lot about the dynamics of money and how we don't need it, how it's passé and it's 20th century, and we have to come up with alternative forms of exchange. And every little bit we do working towards this is going to help create a new paradigm. So here we go with this wonderful interview with Alona.
Some time ago, and she is going to be talking all about why money is passé and why it is so 20th century and no longer relevant. So, Alona, you've done so much research on this over the years. You've discussed this with me on so many levels, and you kind of were a little nervous about getting on the air to talk about it, but you have so much to say that people need to hear, so I'm just going to turn it over to you.
Thanks, Anita, and hello to everybody who's listening in. Greetings from North Carolina. Anita hit me with this just yesterday, so I did a little quick research because I know there's so many resources online, just an amazing amount of videos and readings regarding living with no money or, you know, just reducing your lifestyle. And what
Hang on just a second. I don't think we're recording.
Hold on.
I'm going to stop it and then start it again.
Okay.
Okay, that's what I was looking for, was the recording has started. I wanted it to say that, and it did not say that. So here we go from the top. I want to welcome back to the show my good friend Alona Watzlawick, who really has become an expert in all things about money and bartering and exchange. But we've had so many conversations over the past several years about this topic, she and I, and she's really become quite the expert. And I really have learned so much about this from her. And this is something that really needed to be shared, especially before the holiday season. So, Alona, since you have the goods on all things money, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Well, thank you, Anita. That's quite an introduction that I have to live up to, so I'll do the best I can. Hello to you and to your listeners, and greetings from North Carolina. Anita hit me with this interview less than 24 hours ago, so I did do a little bit of research, but, you know, in thinking about it, I discovered that, you know, a lifestyle transition is truly international. If you just to go on YouTube and type in no money, or you find people from all walks of life and all countries who are doing experiments, experiencing, making permanent changes. And, you know, in my personal experience and those of others, we learn quickly there's much more to all this than one might first imagine, because it questions our realities and our securities and our, very much so, our insecurities. I mean, wouldn't you rather learn and practice to depend on what you and your family can do for yourselves? I mean, that's a very relevant question. That could be a life-saving question. What would you do if you couldn't run to the store for virtually everything, which is pretty much what a lot of us seem to do? I see our dependence on corporate offerings to actually be astonishingly crippling of genuine health, personal health, family health, community development. Everybody's circumstances are different. So videos and readings simply offer information which may or may not apply to your situation, but I recommend gardening, canning, cooking, baking, sewing. They're all good ways to develop family projects and interaction. So much of our out-of-home running around, you know, to get that dollar that we feel we need so much for things that we need to learn to question more deeply. That's time we can be spending at home with our families and our communities. And I'll tell you just a little aside here. Not so long ago, these little awarenesses come to me sometimes. Not so long ago, I was looking in my closet, and I realized the nicest tops that I had were mostly all purchased secondhand. So that saying that is I think also one of the mindsets that we get is, oh, it's secondhand, it was somebody else's, it was used, in a not kind way, and that's not true. It's just not true. We can actually do better in so many areas.
Is there a reason to buy retail for anything at this point in time?
Well, oh boy, isn't that a good question? Well, the first thing that comes to mind is I would say yes, because if people are not presently going with no money, which obviously the vast majority of us are not, you're at the very least going to have a transition period. Everybody's at different points with this that decide to embark on using less money, using more of their own abilities, developing their own abilities and skills and likes. You know, things. What do you really like to do in life? You know, and what takes you away from that? Well, I can say with one of the videos I was reviewing today for, and I have the name for that you can do a search for it on YouTube.
The feed has stopped. Bear with me just a moment. I'm going to try to get this going again. Sorry about the technical difficulties. I'm going to put on some music while I'm trying to get the audio going. This is Hope Medford, Purify. One moment. Well, it doesn't look like anything's working at this point. Let me try to get the audio feed going one more time. I do not think I'll be using this service again.
Yes?
Okay, it doesn't appear to be working very well at all. And I'm not able to manipulate it at all either. Okay, let me try again.
Experiment that was going to jeopardize
here we go.
To that extent herself or her family. So, but it's not, and other, yes, you say, well, there are other things too. You know, you have to have the roof over your head, you have to have food. She negotiated these things, she bartered these things. She was, this is not just some, you know, this is not just a concept. This is a true active lifestyle. And like so many things in life, when you're transitioning, it can be the most difficult time. But once you get to that point, that turning point, where you begin to understand the genuine benefits of what you're doing, it actually becomes easier. And, for instance, Bea Johnson, who wrote the book Zero Waste Home, she talks about this on her many videos that she has on YouTube, and she says quite the contrary. They found that she has a husband and two sons, and that they found that they had much more time for the things that they truly valued. And I say they truly valued because they weren't fed through advertisement or media what you should want, what you should believe, because it benefited somebody else in their pocket. It's more, ask yourself what you want. And, you know, you don't need a degree. You don't need anyone's acknowledgement. If this is something you want to do, do it. Embark on it. You know, and everybody will be different. You know, yes, there will be things you'll want to go to the store for. You know, I do drink soda. You know, so I don't, you know, we all have our likes and dislikes. So, I don't know. What do you think, Anita? What do you find that are absolute necessities that you have to purchase retail?
A lot of things Well, for one thing, I don't have to worry about medicine because I get that through the VA. And so many people have to think about that if they're, you know, on a health plan and don't have the VA. They have to purchase their medications. Other things like underwear, unless you make underwear, or those are a couple of the things, the items that actually come to mind. But I can't think of a lot of reason why to buy retail for anything as far as electronics, things you need for your home like lamps or couches or whatever. A lot of times that's for in our house.
Okay, it looks like it's stopping again. Let me try to get this going again. Bear with me.
Well, for one thing, I don't have to worry about medicine because I get that through the VA. And so many people have to think about that if they're, you know, on a health plan and don't have the VA. They have to purchase their medications. Other things like underwear, unless you make underwear, or those are a couple of the things, the items that actually come to mind. But I can't think of a lot of reason why to buy retail for anything as far as electronics, things you need for your home like lamps or couches or whatever. A lot of times that's for in our household, and it has been for a long time, it's just been trade and barter pretty much.
You know, and it's interesting, too, that you're referencing furniture, and I find older pieces are very unique. And more often than not, better made than a great deal of what's being offered these days, or at least that is offered at a reasonable price. Now, I know a lot of folks don't like to buy things that, you know, used items that are fabric, especially large items that would be hard, a little harder to clean. Now, as far as, you know, like bedding or clothing, you know, you can, if it's white, you can bleach it, but you can also sanitize with white vinegar.
Right. And that works well.
I mop the floors with vinegar because we have three cats. And I don't want there to be any risk that they're going to lick up any of those chemicals, those harsh chemicals that are put in so many cleaning products. And I take white vinegar. And when I have citrus, oranges, lemons, limes, I take the peels and I put them in the white vinegar. And you let it set for at least 2 weeks, but it can stay on the shelf longer, and you have to strain it out through a very fine strainer, because if you're going to put it in a spray bottle, you don't want to get the pulp in there, and that's what I use for a lot of things, a lot of cleaning, so that's just one way of doing it, and we're all good. Everybody's lifestyle is different, every situation is different, so, you know, when I'm talking about the different links and videos you can find online or go to the library, and by the way, I have to put in a plug for libraries, one of the best recycling centers there ever was, and reusing, to take what fits for you. For instance, with Bea Johnson, who I referred to earlier in her book, Zero Waste Home, she's what I would call, you know, the far end extreme of that type of lifestyle. Not fanatical, but, you know, when you see it, you'll say, you know, I mean, in my mind, I know for a fact I would assume I'll never be able to live up that degree. But it's admirable, and it really seems to work for her. And she says they don't feel deprived. And that seems to be one of the fallacies of changing your lifestyle to, you know, spending less money and having less waste. There's so many ways that you can view this. I like to go with what Gandhi said about being the change you want to see. You know, I find if we do less griping and less complaining and just simply, you know, how do you really want to live? And maybe your answer is, I want to be this crazy consumer for the rest of my life. Well, more power to you. But then this conversation, you know, it probably wouldn't help you, but at least it would show you that there are other ways. I started with, I think I already mentioned the No Money Man, Mark Boyle. If you go on to YouTube and just type in the No Money Man, there's an interview
wow.
there. Oh, fascinating. And he also did a talk on TEDx, which on YouTube, you'll probably also see that in the link selections to the right. He actually was able to showcase his humor there, too. There's another one in YouTube, and I'm putting these out there because I think people, you know, I would very much encourage your listeners, get active in this. Do a little bit of investigating. See where, you know, see what other people's experiences are with this. Because one of the consistent reactions I hear from folks is when they embark on this transition is that the freedom it brings, experience of truly enjoying your time, not always feeling, like I said earlier, that you're running this rat race to keep up with the Joneses, but truly making your own decisions. You know, it's not always easy. The more you get into this, the more you see it's a big transition, a lot different than what you might have expected. Not just your personal commitment to this a permanent change, but understanding that there are powers that be that will throw up roadblocks too, because you're taking money out of their stockholders' pockets because you're not buying that lipstick or that hair dye or that ultra processed product. If your listeners haven't already read this, there are communities throughout the United States that won't allow you to grow your own vegetables. Not only will they ban it, they'll come in and tear it up.
Let's turn a corner and talk about some of these adverse effects of not being a part of the system and using what the powers that be think we should be using, which is currency and money. We have talked about, even the Bible has said, the money is the love of money. It's the love of money is the root of all evil. But you go a step further and call it an addiction to money. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Oh, I very much see it as an addiction, very much. And I'll tell you why I think that's such a good analogy is because think of how, you know, an addiction goes is that in the beginning it's a wonderful thing. This makes me feel great. But ultimately, invariably, it destroys you. And if we continue on this path, it will destroy us as a species. I have no doubt. And it will all be for something that is not genuine.
Right.
You know, right. And, I mean, if I'm going to go down, I want to go down for something better than money. And that's why I say, imagine if that's not our bottom line. What would it be? And, you know, I think that's going to stop a lot of people in their tracks because in my conversations with different individuals, I have found that it just really stuns them to have to consider that there could be something more valuable than money. And it's like, yeah, really think about that because that's to me, and I say this respectfully, to me that's not a good mindset.
Right.
You know, I mean, if we can invest all this, all this money in wars, and we have the money for that, why don't we have the money for other things? To take care of our senior citizens who have, you know, given us so much, and children. 1 in 30 children in our country is homeless, Anita. 1 in 30. But we can identify the battles. I have a problem with this. And I'm sure I'm not alone with that. But that alone, if nothing else made me question what we do with money, that certainly does. And I think that, you know, that's it. We have to ask ourselves, you know, how is this affecting us morally also? And this is why I say I see money as not just passe even, but counterproductive.
And what do you think is the difference between the love of money and the addiction to money? What is the line that's drawn between the two?
Whatever. whatever it is, it's very fine. That's the first thing that comes to mind. I think we have to question tension. You know, it's like, boy, isn't that a good question? The love of money and the, I think they may very well be one and the same.
Right.
You know, because I can't, I have to be honest, nothing immediately comes to mind, you know. I mean, you have said, you know, that I've become an expert and I know, you know, things about money. You know, I'm one citizen of the world like everybody else. And that's honestly the best that I need to qualify myself as far as this interview, because I want people to understand everyone, whether, you know, you're an activist in the news, or you live in the country in North Carolina, whatever you do matters. You're not, you know, it doesn't make you any greater because you're on the news. If you're on the news, for heaven's sakes, at least be honest and contribute something.
Right.
Contribute something valuable. You know. So listen, I want to say too, one of the just to bring it back to a little more local with me and what I've been experiencing is that in North Carolina, I moved here about 2 years ago. We've been in our present home for a little over a year, and where we are now, we have to take our trash and recyclables to the county landfill. And at this point, I want to say kudos to the Alamance County, North Carolina landfill, because they have a great recycling area, and they always appear to be expanding on that on an ongoing basis. But one of the challenges I'm planning to address is the amount of disposable containers that accumulate.
Right.
I mean, you can only make so many soda bottle bird feeders. One of the obvious answers seems to be finding locations which will allow you to bring your own containers rather than use their disposable ones. You know, because then I have to take, I'm going to say, you know, one of those round toy bins that have like the rope handles on the side. I have one of those. And I probably have to take that every 2 weeks. That fills up on it every 2 weeks. And yes, they take it to the landfill for nothing. They take glass. They take clear plastic bottles, soda bottles. They take brown glass, green glass, clear glass. They're working on blue glass. Like I said, they're always expanding. But I know that they recycle that. And it's made into other things. But that's still part of the footprint. That, you know, I mean, you know, when you start really talking about the carbon footprint, it can really spiral out of control, as I'm sure we've all experienced. Okay, great, yeah, but I have to take gas in the car to take those recyclables over. I have the bin that takes it. Then they pay somebody to deal with that. You know, that's all part of the footprint.
Right.
And so I'm trying to figure out how I can avoid that. You know, and people say to me, well, it's not going to make that much difference. Yeah, it does. The more people that do that, the more manufacturers will realize that they don't need that amount now. Or they'll start investing in practical, sustainable, renewable type of behavior. Because you have to ask yourself, what is consumerism? Listen, if I may, too, let me just jump to this because I've got some notes here, and I want to find this page for the non-consumer advocate, because if anybody who's on Facebook, this is a great group. Just do a search for the non-consumer advocate. I truly enjoy this group. And, you know, in truth, we're all consumers from the moment we're conceived, but the challenge is how we direct our consumer energies. It doesn't only mean consume less, but to have a form of consuming sustainable. For instance, Bea Johnson puts in this order, this is how you should address the material items in your life. First, you refuse. If you can refuse an item, you don't have to deal with it. Well,
right.
Next comes reduce. Reduce your usage. Then comes reuse. How can you reuse what you already have? Then comes recycle. Recycle. But my favorite one is rot, which is composting. And keep in mind that you can compost other things than food. And again, you can do a search online on composting, and there are pros and cons on what should go into a composting pile. You know, what keeps a balanced pile. But again, do your research, folks. And if you're gardening, especially vegetable gardening, but it's good for flowers and shrubs too, compost is the way to go. And Bea talks about
about that also. They compost a lot. So I recommend the Non-Consumer Advocate. And let me see what else. What
I just looked up that group. It has over 6,000 people on it.
Are you talking about the Non-Consumer Advocate?
And you're meaning the one that's on Facebook, am I right?
Yeah, it's a great bunch of people. You know, it's like any Facebook group that's that big. After a while, you know, sometimes there's a little disgruntlement. But 9 times out of 10, it runs its course. And 9 times out of 10, you know, the administration doesn't even step in. It just, I think she knows, okay, this is, you know, everybody has their differences, but 99.9% of the time, the information I get on there is just phenomenal. And again, that's the Non-Consumer Advocate. And it doesn't have 6,000 people on it for nothing. It's a very good group. I recommend it. There's also, when I said I went in, I found a international, a lot of this goes globally. There's a gal named in Germany named Greta Taubert, T-A-U-B-E-R-T. I think I want to say she was in Leipzig, but I'm not sure. If you type in "year without cash, is it possible to live while spending no money?" I know that's long, but that's the exact title of that particular one. And she did. She went for a year living with no cash. There was a lady in Holland who did the same experiment. And again, let's see, her name is, and I'm probably not going to pronounce this very well, Caroline Hublin, and it's Caroline, last name Hoogland. And she gives a rather interesting talk, also on one of the TEDx YouTube offerings, about what her experience was. And honestly, to your listeners, I would say there is by far a high percentage of people who find this experience of backing off for money, doing more things on your own, involving yourself more with the family and the community, it's so much more positive feedback than negative. I can't even recall any negative feedback. One woman said, oh, I thought it would make me isolated, when all it did was bring her closer to people she really cared about and the people she wound up interacting with because they were people she loved and people who helped her live the lifestyle that she felt the happiest with. So, you know,
tell the listeners where they would expect to see themselves spiritually. There's a metamorphosis that goes along with this.
Wow, if you look at it in terms of what in many belief systems are considered. And many of these sacred elements are being violated today, and that's, you know, the air, the earth, fire, and water. I mean, I'm sure very quickly all of us can think of news articles where this is being violated, you know, with the fracking and the, what is that they do in the air, Anita, with the planes?
Oh, chemtrailing, which, you know, people are calling that a conspiracy theory, but, you know, hey, if you're looking at
that before, it's out there. They're taking readings of what chemicals are in the air that they pass over. They're horrendous. You know, it's okay to acknowledge, and I say this to everybody who's listening, it is okay to acknowledge what's truly going on. It may be frightening. It may be horrendous. And I think a lot of it is, and I'm going to say, constructed, because there is a construction there of negativity, of a divisiveness that we need to step back from and say, what am I really looking at here? What's really going on? And you know what? Where is this coming from? And it's okay to ask those questions. It's okay to feel that fear, because if you don't, then we really are going to have some problems, and we are already doing that. And that's why I'm saying, it's not just a matter of complaining about what's going on. You have to step in and actively say, you have to say what is going on. Mm-hmm. And it's not always a comfortable position, because people, that there are powers out there that don't want you to question that.
Yeah, look at Marvin Gaye. He said it, "What's going on?" That was one of his best songs. He you said it, what's happening, you know, why don't we have peace in the streets? Why don't, you know?
Right.
I believe that going to an expense like this where you're weaning yourself off of money, this can be definitely creative.
Especially if you're direct action. I'm sorry, say that again, I interrupted you.
I'm saying that if we take this to heart and we actually put these principles in place in our lives, this is one of the greatest actions. It's peaceful, nonviolent, direct action, and creative at the same time.
All of that and more.
Right.
Absolutely. How are we doing on time? Because I have a few other links I wanted to offer.
Yeah, we're getting close to the end, so we've probably got about three to 5 minutes.
Okay. All right. In my quick research that I did with what actually, because if anybody who deals with YouTube on a regular basis knows, the links die every so often. So I wanted to make sure I had viable links. So I went on this morning and made sure that these were still viable links. There's one, and if you type in popular zero waste videos, or also do a search on Zero Waste Home, which again is Bea Johnson. And you can also find her book at the library. Hopefully your library does have it in. She also has her own page, zerowastehome.com. And I actually think that was everything that I listed. I just wanted to see if there was anything else. You know, I think I actually covered everything that was in my notes. You make it so easy.
Do you have any parting comments or anything that you can...
No, I just encourage people, take the bull by the horns, have confidence in yourself, and again, no action is too small. I truly believe that if we ever truly knew that our words and our behavior have on our world and other people in our lives, we would be amazed and we would be humbled by how much effect we can have. So, you know, pass it along. Find out, not all neighbors are attuned to this, but find out if you have just one or two neighbors or family members who can identify with this, and there are things that you can share, like a shampoo, or one person can bake for you while you can for someone. Or, like, I was recently asked to, there's a lot of homeschoolers in my area, recently asked to teach some sewing lessons. And I said, fine, you can pay me in deer meat, because I know that they're deer hunters. And, you know, just explore it. Know that you must, this is not an armchair activity. This is a get up and get into it activity. This is a permanent lifestyle change. And again, I would say, yeah, it started out, oh, the talk is going to be about you know, money. But like I said, I think we need to take another step and say, well, but once we have this realization, what do we do? Well, my answer is whatever you do, do something positive and understand it's a constant transition. And I wish everybody the best of luck, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Well, before we sign off, I want to encourage you, and I think other listeners that are so taken with what you've had to say should encourage you to write about this. I'd love to see you put together a blog. It's so easy. And talk about your tips and tricks on how you do this every day, kind of a running commentary to help other people. But it would also give you a website that people could refer to when they need more information.
And I will tell you, I thank you for that. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know if I have the personality for it. One of the things I'm not real consistent on, I've tried it a couple times. But there are some great blogs out there on these very things, which I don't have at my fingertips, but I will put some of that together, and you could post that on your Wise Women.
Love to. Send me the links, and I'll make sure that those links are included.
Yeah.
With you know, the complete show description. So,
okay. And
so, Ilona, I want to thank you very much for being on the air with me today. And
pleasure, always my pleasure, Anita. Thank you.
And everybody, go out there and find creative ways of getting what you need without using money. It can be done.
And understanding that, don't let it be spoon fed to you. Really, you know, wake up and Know what makes you happy and go for it. And you'll see it in some of these links that I gave you, and you'll see there are always more links in there that you can go to. YouTube is just an amazing resource for this, just to give you some ideas, and then go for it.
Okay, well, thank you, Alona, and everybody have a great day. Thank you so much.
So that was our interview with Alona Watzlawick, talking about money is passé and tips and tricks and things we can do to not be addicted to it, to break that addiction, to break that cycle. Websites she gave us on. I will link them underneath the entry for this show. When she emails them to me, I'll make sure they're there for you all to see on wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com. And I don't have an announcement for future guests next week, but we will be back next week. Hopefully we'll have all the technical issues ironed out. And, we'll look forward to the next show. So I'm going to close with the song I was trying to play earlier. This is Hope Medford, Purify. You all have a great weekend, and in solidarity with everybody that's on the streets right now, hoping for peace and unity and solidarity. Good night, everyone. Purify.